Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. It's my pleasure to continue to be with you on this Thanksgiving Day, our 12th consecutive Thanksgiving Day together, live, broadcasting live. I haven't done the holidays any other way since we've been hanging around with each other, and I appreciate it very much. One of the things I've been doing now for a few years is talking to you about the story that I call When Cause and Effect Met Humanity. It's about how one person can make a difference, and how actually one person did, and many others have made a difference to many, to maybe even the world. And this is an example of that. And that one person was born in what is now called Massachusetts, USA. His father named him Tisquantum, and he was a member of the Patuxent tribe, which was part of a confederation of tribes known as the Wampanoag. The Wampanoag, which means Eastern people, inhabited much of what became known as New England. Tisquantum would become a very important person in the future of America, but not before his life would change in ways that could not have been imagined by any early 17th century Native American. In 1605, Captain George Weymouth thought financial backers might be impressed if they saw a real live Indian. In an expedition on the east coast of the New World, Captain Weymouth lured three real live Indians onto a ship, kidnapped them, and took them back to England. One of those Indians was Tisquantum. In England, Tisquantum eventually came to live with Sir Fernando Georges, a financier of New World exploration and exploitation. Georges taught Tisquantum English and employed him to be a guide and interpreter for his sea captains. Tisquantum, whose name had now become Squanto, was brought back to America in 1614 to assist in the mapping of the New England coast. But Squanto's greatest flaw, the inability to know which Englishman to trust, kept getting him in trouble. And incredibly, he was kidnapped again, along with a couple dozen other Indians. This time, Squanto was taken to Spain to be sold. While he was there, a group of friars discovered what was happening, and they took several of the Indians, including Squanto, from those captors, and ordered them to be instructed in Christianity. Squanto lived with the friars until he became homesick, and in 1618, he boarded a ship bound for Newfoundland. In another twist of fate, while in Newfoundland, Squanto ran into an associate. Now think about this, folks. This is 400 years ago almost, and he's wandering around in the New World, and he bumps into an old friend. He bumps into an associate of his friend, Fernando Georges, who took Squanto, apparently willingly this time, back across the big water, now for the fifth time. In his second trip to England, after having been in Spain, now in England the second time, now trilingual, Spanish, English, and his own native language, Squanto was a unique resource. You can see how that would be, right? And Georges once again employed his Indian friend to return to America to map the coastline that was so familiar to him. Once he arrived back in his home range, after having crossed the Atlantic for the sixth time, it was 1619, and Squanto made the shocking discovery that during his absence, while he had been gone since the first time he was kidnapped, the Wampanoag people, his people, had been decimated in 1617 by an epidemic. We now know it was probably smallpox. But worse than that, his entire village, his home village and his family, had been completely wiped out. About the same time as this was going on with Squanto, plans were being laid to establish a colony in what the English then considered to be the northern boundary of Virginia. These plans came to fruition when, on September 6th, 1620, the 90-foot Mayflower set sail from Plymouth, England. The Mayflower's manifest recorded the names of 110 passengers and crew, including 37 laden separatists, who were also called pilgrims. We now call all of them pilgrims, perhaps incorrectly, but those people, the laden separatists, were pilgrims. To be sure, demographically, the Mayflower passengers were an unlikely bunch, and they were a very contentious gaggle. Even though they were in the minority, the 37 separatists treated their non-separatist fellow passengers with condescension and actually called them the others. Another example that's been used, that they call them the strangers. But there was one common thread that bound them all together. Each one had been embarked on this courageous adventure to claim new prospects in the new world. Landfall came for the Mayflower colonists on the 66th day at sea on November 9th, when they came ashore near the tip of what is now called Cape Cod. Their first encounter with the indigenous people almost cost them dearly when they stumbled onto an Indian burial ground and were chased back to the Mayflower by those indignant caretakers of that graveyard. This first contact episode must have seemed like bad luck, but as they would soon learn, it was a blessing in disguise. Back on the Mayflower and sailing on toward the main coast, the colonists created a very important document, the Mayflower Compact, and we now know it to be the first set of laws established for settlers of the New World. That's what I was talking about earlier, something that we still revere to this day. By the way, at about that same time, the first child was born on that ship, and it was a child named Peregrine, a girl child named Peregrine. So the next landing would be more peaceful, and on the day after Christmas, 1620, the colonists chose to establish their new life on the mainland when they came ashore at what is now Massachusetts, in a place that they named Plymouth. They named it Plymouth after the place that they'd left in England. And when I come back after this break, you'll find out how incredibly serendipitous all this, the whole event was, for not only for these pilgrims, but also, I think, for the world. It's 20 after. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me. I'll be right back. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Broadcasting our 12th consecutive live Thanksgiving Day program. And not a lot of small business today, mostly just things to be thankful for and a little bit of history. When I left you before the break, I was telling you about the folks on the Mayflower who had just landed at Plymouth, Massachusetts, what became Plymouth, Massachusetts. And now I want to tell you about what happened to them. Their first winter, as you know, I think, was a tough one. By March of the next year, 1621, less than half of the Mayflower contingent was alive. They'd lost more than 50% of the 110 people who came ashore. But with all of their misfortune, they were about to discover something for which they would be very thankful. On March 16th, we actually know the day, March 16th, an Indian named Samoset walked into the colonist camp and greeted them by saying, "Hello, English." Samoset was a Monhegan sachem, which means he was a leader, from what is now the state of Maine, and he was hunting and trading in the area. Even though he spoke some English, Samoset knew these sad-looking folk would need more than he could give them. Now, remember our trilingual world-traveling orphan Squanto? Well, it turns out, now this is the serendipitous part, folks, it turns out that the colonists had set up their settlement at Plymouth, what they call Plymouth, on the very spot where Squanto's village had been, you know, the people who were wiped out by the disease. Samoset brought Squanto, who they knew each other. He brought Squanto to the colonists, and during the first, for the rest of that year, 1621, Squanto befriended and taught them how to fish, how to grow crops that would survive in the climate of Massachusetts, and how to survive in the new land. So think about this, folks. Without Samoset's initial and Squanto's sustained benevolence, it's generally accepted that the Pilgrims would probably have suffered severe famine over the next year, which would likely have resulted in the complete failure of the Mayflower expedition. But thanks to the humanity of these two individuals, the first harvest by the colonists was bountiful, and sometime in October 1621, they decided to set aside a day to give thanks for their blessings. Squanto was invited, of course, and he brought other Indians with him to what became what is now accepted as the first Thanksgiving Day in America. So here are the cause and effect questions, ladies and gentlemen. What if Squanto had not been kidnapped and taken to live in Europe? What if he'd not learned English or ultimately endeavored to return to his home? But more importantly, what if he and Samoset had not been of a good heart, had not befriended the people who arguably were the most important early colonial seeds in the history of what is now the United States? What if all that had not happened? Neither Squanto nor his friends could have known that after almost 400 years later, 387 years later, not just the United States, but in fact the world, is still benefiting from the experiences of his life and the decisions by these two individuals, Samoset and Squanto, to do good. If the success of the Mayflower expedition was important to the ultimate settlement of America, then it takes no great leap of logic to see how one individual can make a difference in the success of a lot of people, and how these individuals made a difference in the ultimate success of the United States, and in fact now we know the world. So this week, ladies and gentlemen, I give thanks for Squanto, one person who chose to do good, who made a difference in the lives of many. And I propose to you that if Squanto can do it, you and I can too. I love that story. I love telling it every year. Thank you for allowing me to do it. I think it's one it lifts me up. I hope it lifts you up. There's some other things I want to talk about as we wrap up this segment. Here are a list of things to be thankful for that's been attributed to Mother Teresa, Saint Teresa now, that she's gone on to her reward. I've been told for a long time I talked about these things and I didn't know who to attribute it to. And one of my listeners or one of my readers of my newsletter wrote back and told me that they thought it was Mother Teresa, and I'm glad to know that. And even if it's not, I like attributing it to her anyway. Here's some things, and some different ways to be thankful, to think about being thankful, folks. Be thankful for the clothes that fit a little too snug, because it means you have enough to eat. Be thankful for the mess that you clean up after a party, because it means you've been surrounded by friends. Be thankful for the taxes you pay, because it means you're employed. Yes, I actually said that. Be thankful that your lawn needs mowing and your windows need fixing, because it means you have a home. Be thankful for your heating bill, because it means you're warm. Be thankful for the laundry, ladies, because it means you and your family have clothes to wear. Be thankful for the space you find at the far end of the parking lot, because that means you can walk. Be thankful for the lady who sings off-key behind you in the church, because it means you can hear. Be thankful for the alarm that goes off early in the morning, because that means you're alive. And finally, ladies and gentlemen, I'm thankful for many things. I'm thankful for my daughter, Jenny, my son, Craig, my grandchildren, Jacob, Aaron, and Daniel, all my family. I'm thankful for my wife, Devana. I'm thankful for my brothers and sisters. And I'm especially thankful, ladies and gentlemen, for the most courageous and the most important modern-day pilgrims that I know, small business owners. I'm thankful for all of you. I'm very proud of you. Stay with me. I'm going to be right back after these messages. Happy Thanksgiving. Stay with us.
In Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.